The idea of funding or raising funds is not appealing to me. The idea of God using people working together in unity to help people that are in need is so beautiful. The things that I learned from that were there was a lot of people in need through COVID. A lot of churches needed funds, but they also needed someone to minister to them. And so it was a double duty for me. It was awesome that I was able to minister to them, raise funds for them, and then all the churches within the Calvary movement were doing this. And so when we think about the birth of CGN, that's kind of where all those things were starting to happen. And that's when we started talking more about becoming our autonomy and how we would be able to fund the church planting movements and the initiative of Cultivate and the initiative of pastoral care and coaching and the resources and all those different things.
Welcome to the CGN Mission and Methods Podcast, Season 4. My name is Nick Cady. I'm the pastor of Whitefields Community Church in Longmont, Colorado, and I will be your host this season. The goal and vision of this podcast is that it would be a forum for communication about Calvary Global Network. We want to share with you some of the stories about what God is doing. We want to talk about some of the initiatives we're involved in spearheading, and we want to answer the questions you might have about who we are as a network. In this episode, we speak with Jeff Geip. Jeff has a unique background, having been a successful businessman in Southern California, and then planting and pastoring a church. He now uses these skills and experiences to serve Calvary Global Network as the head of the funding team. In this episode, Jeff talks about some of the ways the funding team has been able to help churches and empower ministry initiatives around the world, and why he is passionate about mobilizing the church to use our skills and resources to help each other further the mission of God. Here's the episode. Welcome to the CGN Mission and Methods Podcast. My name is Nick Cady, and today I am joined by Clay Worrell. Hey, Clay.
Oh, hey, Nick.
Clay, you are the executive director of CGN. You have not yet been a co-host, so now is the first time. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm super glad to be here.
Awesome. So what we're doing on this season of Mission and Methods, we are interviewing and getting to know the members of the CGN executive team. And the reason we're doing that, we want you, our listeners, to get to know kind of the heart behind the individuals who are leading this organization, this movement of churches into the next season, and really kind of getting to hear some of their stories, what they're passionate about, what they're excited about for the future. So today we are joined by Jeff Geip. Hey, Jeff.
Good to see you, Nick. Clay, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff, you are actually even on the staff of CGN.
I am, and I'm sitting here with my boss, Clay, and I've got to be really nice to him.
Cool. Do I have to be nice to you?
No, well, you don't get a paycheck, so you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I've got carte blanche. I can do whatever. All right. Well, Jeff, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you serve within CGN, and yeah, your journey that God's led you on up until this point in life in ministry.
Yeah. First of all, this is such a pleasure to be part of this and to share, because there are some very exciting things happening within CGN. And for me, it's just a dream come true. I was born again at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa in 91. And just from that point on, just fell in love with the Lord, started serving the Lord, reading my Bible daily, so much so that in 2003, I was asked to come on staff at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa as a lay pastor, because during all of those years, between all that time, I was a Christian businessman. I owned a packaging company, a very fruitful packaging company that we had dedicated to the Lord, and just amazing things that God was doing in and through the company. And then in 2003, Pastor Brian asked if I would come on staff as their college and career pastor. And what I mean by staff is you can come and be our college and career pastor for free, which actually that was more me than him.
That man's a genius.
Yes, he is so good at this stuff.
It's kind of like Nick with CGN.
Yeah. But in 2005, I went to Pastor Brian and Pastor Chuck and had shared with them that the Lord was putting on my heart to plant a church. That was the good news. The bad news, it was 9.8 miles away from Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa in the city of Newport Beach, California. And they graciously sent me out and said, well, come back and tell us how things are going in 6 months, and we'll see if you can be a Calvary. And I don't think it was 2 months later, Brian called me in and says, you're a Calvary. And then we were there for 16 years, planted a church. We had a wonderful church. It was a smaller church with a very missions-minded heart. We actually were part of a church plant 1 year into our church and planted many churches going forward. And then in 2016 is 3 years after Pastor Chuck had passed, and we had begun these prayer meetings with CGN, one time in New York City and then at one time in Marietta. And every 6 months we would have these prayer meetings. And it's so funny, you know, there might be this perception that we would get together and have all these planning meetings, but they were literally prayer meetings. If you know Brian, you know that there was no planning. It was just, let's get together and pray.
Yeah.
I love that, actually. I told somebody the other day, I was like, yeah, they're like, what'd you do at your CGN meeting? I'm like, we prayed for hours. It was amazing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so it was at that time, in fact, Kellen had a prophetic prayer. As he was praying, he was like, I can picture a man in a boat on a sea and a wave, a huge wave coming about to capsize him. And it was at that very moment that I felt like the Lord was going to be using me in a different way. And what that was is at the time I thought it was because of the things that were happening within Calvary Chapel. And I thought God was going to use me as a person to come alongside and with pastoral care and coaching to help those things. But we found out in 2019 and 2020, it was entirely a different thing. Hmm. And so, you know, kind of fast forwarding 2019, November, all of us were there. We had that meeting in Marietta that was our first planning meeting for CGN. And we, wasn't that great?
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. And God had put all these ideas in our head and we're all ready to go. And I mean, everybody launched and they put me on the funding team. I wasn't really happy with that decision. Were you in on that decision?
Absolutely not.
Nick?
No.
Okay.
I think that was all Kellen.
I'm pretty sure it was all Kellen. And Brian. And no doubt Brian. And at the time I'm like, yes, I do have a background in business. Yes, I do intuitively know these things. So I guess, okay, whatever. And when COVID hit, you know, all the initiatives stopped. So there was nothing going on.
They paused.
They paused.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Except for mine. Because COVID hit and Kellen called and he goes, you know, we should put together a relief fund. And I'm like, man, that's a genius idea. And it was like after that conversation, I remember staying up all night long in my head is, how does this look like? What does this look like? And so I immediately jumped into Paul. If you don't know, if our listeners don't know, Paul was the original fundraiser in the Bible.
Jeff, I'm just going to stop you here and just say, has anybody asked you if you are the one who puts the fun in funding? Because I've never heard someone be so excited about funding. And I think that just shows the beauty of the body of Christ right there. Okay, carry on.
Okay.
Paul did the fun in fundraising
first.
So, yeah, if you remember this story, there was a famine in Jerusalem. Paul wanted, and it was the Jewish church that was being affected. So Paul immediately went to the Corinthian church and asked for funds. They said they would give it, but then they didn't give it. It was like a year later, and Paul's like, well, I guess I'll go to the churches in Macedonia. And if you've read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you will see just the beauty of Paul's heart when he came to the Macedonian churches that were afflicted more and poor and going through difficult things, and they joyfully gave more than what Paul could have ever accepted or expected. And the reason they joyfully gave is because of not only what Christ had done for them, but how Christ came through the Jews in Jerusalem. Mm. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, it's two things. We're raising funds for those that need relief, but we're also bringing unity between what potentially was a split.
Yeah. Amen.
And that really ministered to me big time.
Yeah.
And so with that, we started the COVID relief fund, and gosh, it was such a blessing. The idea of funding or raising funds is not appealing to me. The idea of God using people, working together in unity to help people that are in need, is so beautiful. The things that I learned from that were there was a lot of people in need through COVID. A lot of churches needed funds, but they also needed someone to minister to them. And so it was a double duty for me. It was awesome that I was able to minister to them, raise funds for them. And then all the churches within the Calvary movement were doing this. And so when we think about the birth of CGN, that's kind of where all those things were starting to happen. And that's when we started talking more about becoming our autonomy and how we would be able to fund the church planting movements and the initiative of Cultivate and the initiative of the pastoral care and coaching and the resources and all those different things.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I just, and this is why I know that you're the right man for the job that you have, because, you know, money is one of those things that it feels awkward to talk about. A lot of people don't want to talk about it, get kind of cagey. And I just love your perspective, Jeff. And it's such the mind of Christ too, because Jesus talked about money plenty, and scriptures are full of references to giving and generosity and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it's not about dollar figures. It's not about numbers. It's truly about the heart. It's an expression of worship. And we know that as pastors, right? Like, right. We want our congregations, our church members to give, not just to keep the lights on, but because that's a healthy expression of worship, one of the expressions of worship to God, as we give back from what he gave to us. And then in this context, the way you talk about it, it's really an expression of unity in the body of Christ, isn't it?
Yes.
And this is the way that God designed his body to work, where there is you know, care going from one to another. And yes, that includes relationship, of course, that includes counsel, that includes wisdom, confrontation at times, but it also includes very practical ways of churches caring for churches and Christians caring for Christians. And you do such a good job of just keeping our focus in the right place when we're talking about these really necessary and practical things.
Yeah, I think you and I were talking about this earlier about the Holy Spirit. When we think about Pentecost, you know, in Pentecost, there were 14 or 15 different cultures that converged for that celebration. And then Peter got up and preached that message. So these are different cultures, different perspectives, different philosophies of even their religion. And then when the Holy Spirit came, they got baptized, right? And then they were filled with the Spirit. And there was this great unity. They met together each and every day in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer and in the Word of God. And then as you go down in Acts chapter 2, you just see that everybody shared what they had in common. Those that had a lot helped those that had little. Everybody had it in common. And it says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And because of their giving, which Paul kind of puts an exclamation on that mark on that later in Acts chapter 20, when he says that Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. When you see that, this is where the joy comes, is when we learn to give. Our culture, our society, sadly, doesn't feel that way often. And maybe it's because many organizations approach it wrongly. But we see, and this is the beauty of CGN, is what we see is together we can do so much more than we can separately.
Yeah, and that phrase right there has been something that has been repeated by our leaders. I don't know if it's been posted anywhere, but that's something that we say a lot within our discussions, right? As we talk about different initiatives, different teams that are being done. What's the driving concept? It's this idea, together we can do more than we can separately. So Jeff, tell us about some of the things that, okay, you talked about people giving, that's cool, but what have you done with that money?
Well, for COVID, that went to COVID relief, but there's also been money that's come in for church planting. Yeah, so I was so blessed that I've been working in India for about 10 years, and many of the Calvary chapels came together, and we raised like $10,000 to get to the pastors in India. And from that, we've planted 9 churches. Cool. You know, when you start thinking, and that's just my experience. And I know that there are others that people are just willing to give, and they give, and we see God do so much with it. And that's really the heart behind going in the future, is like, man, it's going to be exponential. You know, I love the cultivate, you know, we have a structure to plant 1,000 healthy churches or communities of Christ. You know, to do that well, we need to be doing this together, because that's a big ask, mm-hmm. right? We're talking about a lot of money, but when it's not a lot of money, when you think about everybody working together. And one of the things the Lord showed me during COVID is that Paul purposely went to the Macedonian churches. They were small, they were poor, but they gave over and above exceedingly well, because God loves a joyful giver. They just gave and gave. And that's kind of the model. You know, the Corinthian church didn't give, which says a lot. So I don't know the reasons behind it, but what I do know is that the smaller churches that can really benefit from CGN are going to be really happy to give. And what I mean by benefit, they'll be able to participate in the initiatives for Cultivate as an example.
Well, I mean, that's a big thing that you're saying right there, because I can imagine somebody out there who says, hey, you know, we have a church, maybe we're in a small context, small town, not a lot of people in our church, but we get to be a part of doing something really big. I'll tell you, you know, one of the other things that we've done with this is that there was a lot of people were wondering, how can we give to support churches, people in Ukraine who are our brothers and sisters who are connected with us in our network? And this is one of the beauties of having a network. We have a lot of churches in Ukraine that we're connected to, where we can know where those dollars are going, or euros, or whatever people give, right? We can know where they're going, and we can make sure that they're being used to do really important stuff without getting lost in overhead. And the cool thing is that we were able to raise all this money. So just imagine, I was having a discussion a while back, like when the war first started in Ukraine, there were some pastors locally in my city, and they started having a discussion amongst themselves that I was part of, asking, how can we help? People in our church want to help. We don't know where to give. Do you know anything? And I said, actually, yes, we do have something set up just for that. And that really reflects what you're saying, that some of these smaller churches, they want to be part of God's work in the world. And in some cases, that looks like giving. And we're giving an opportunity for that.
That's exactly right. And it's really beautiful to see that. And especially with Ukraine, it's been so much fun working with you and Michael, and just seeing those funds go, and especially the relief workers thing that we did in Austria, and what we'll be doing soon here coming up in Ukraine itself. So
yeah,
it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I actually wanted to mention that. Again, this is just one of those things that we have the privilege of doing because we're a network of churches working together, where with Ukraine, you know, we were able to meet a number of practical needs, and a lot of that was happening, especially in the early days of the conflict. But one of the things that the Lord put on our hearts, and Nick, you've been a part of this conversation from the start, is that we really wanted to care for the relief workers, the people who have been pouring out their lives to care for the displaced Ukrainian residents, refugees across Europe, the faithful ministers who are continuing to do gospel work and relief work in Ukraine. And so, as Jeff mentioned, over the summer, we were able to do a relief workers conference here at the castle in Austria, where we're sitting right now. And it was incredible. We brought clinical counselors over who were, you know, believers in Jesus, but highly trained and qualified to do trauma and grief counseling, and provide a reprieve for these people who've been pouring out their lives to care for others so that they wouldn't burn out and, you know, basically train wreck because they're pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and not being poured into. And actually in March, next month from when we're recording this, we're going into Ukraine to do the very same thing. And we're providing that free of cost for everybody who's coming to attend that retreat, including bringing over these qualified counselors to be able to do one-on-one sessions and group sessions, along with obviously pastors to teach the word and to pray and that sort of thing as well. So it's just a wonderful thing that we're able to do because we're working together, yeah, as a family of churches.
Yeah. And so, Jeff, also with you being part of the CGN staff, I know that one thing you've been involved in is helping CGN become an autonomous organization. So I'm just going to kind of say and ask what maybe some people are wondering. We're talking about money, and that's, as Clay mentioned, sometimes awkward, but I'm just going to come out and ask you. I think the things CGN's doing obviously cost money, and not just church planting and Ukrainian relief help, but also, I mean, what does CGN do that costs money? And then also, how is that being funded? How is it being paid for?
Yeah, well, of course, part of the Calvary DNA has always been autonomy. Pastor Chuck was really good at that, you know, giving people freedom to do the things that the Lord was showing them to do. And it was just wonderful. What we found after generations and generations was that whenever anybody needed money, they would just call Papa Chuck. And I mean, Pastor Chuck was so gracious, you know, and he would help people as much as he could. And well-intentioned. The problem is that has continued, that, well, if we need something, we'll go to Costa Mesa. And, you know, those days have been over for a long time, even way before Pastor Chuck passed. And so what we've realized is, as to be a healthy, self-sustainable org, we need to be working together. We can't rely on one person. And in a sense, as I was sharing earlier, we're robbing people of the gift of giving. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever thought about that, but churches should be giving. You know, our little church that never got over 100 people, my missions budget was 30% because our church was always giving to help plant churches and to working together. We just did a podcast with Jimmy Arate. He and I helped plant a church in Ireland together. It started with me and I turned it over to him because he was more experienced. He had more money. And we were just laughing how God did that. We had no idea what we were doing. It's just what God did. And so learning those lessons and partnering together with people. And so we saw it being urgent that we become autonomous. And so in August, we went through the whole process. We're our own 501. We're set up as an autonomous organization that is going to be relying on the funds coming from other churches. There's been a few churches. Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa is for sure our biggest donor at this point. You know, they've been so gracious in helping us. And there are many other churches that are starting to come alongside. And we sent out a ministry plan that we spent a lot of time on and writing and trying to get to where we could share all the important details that people would need to know. We sent them out to a bunch of pastors. We've gotten some good response, but it's going to take time. You know, people are wanting to see what's CGN about. How can we trust them? And all of those things. And all of those things are coming to fruition as we launch the initiative Cultivate. The connectors. We just had a connectors thing down in Florida. Had a very small turnout, but it was the best because we're sitting there. I actually met a guy that's been a Calvary Chapel pastor for 20 years. Doesn't know anybody. He's been down. Well, he knows people. He just never felt that he fit in. And so he and I roomed together. And man, we're just talking all night and just having a great time. Well, last week he just called and he just said, you know, he had me come down and share at his church. So I shared at his church. I went out to lunch with one of his board members, had a great time. Well, he called last week and says, yeah, he goes, you know, my board member, when I went to him and said, we want to start giving to CGN, he just says, oh man, I met Jeff. Those guys, CGN's cool. We're going to give them. And so they've already committed to giving. And that's kind of how it's happening. You know, as we've been talking so much about relational, it's always relational. And the more that we get to know people, the more that people are getting excited about CGN, it's just going to be exponential. And as we're planning churches and all of those sorts of things. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's great, Jeff. I totally agree with everything you just said. And you know, our heart with this is obviously, like you mentioned, Nick, there's administrative costs with anything. And I imagine a large portion of our listener base are pastors or in church leadership in some degree or another. And you know, just from the context of your church, you have to keep the lights on and pay your staff. But obviously, it's not about paying salaries. It's about having the right people in the right places doing the job that enables the kingdom work to be done. And that's our vision with CGN as well. You know, we do have a team and a very small team right now, and we're committed to keep it as lean as we can in order to do while being able to do the things that God's called us to do. But without the operations team, we can't do the work that God's called us to do as a network of churches. And so, of course, we're unashamedly asking churches who believe in the mission, who are part of this network, to participate in funding the org that is serving our family of churches, and then together as a family of churches, as a network, doing the kingdom work of church planting, of relief work, of care and coaching for the pastors and leaders in our network, and so much more. And so, yeah, our vision, though, is that there would be a lot of churches giving smaller amounts rather than a few churches giving a whole lot. And if every, you know, even if a quarter of the churches that are part of the network gave 1% of their general budget, we'd be in such a great position to continue doing what we're called to do. So that's kind of our ask. And if anybody, Jeff mentioned the ministry plan that we created, and we've sent that out to some of the kind of leaders within CGN. But if anybody's interested in seeing that, just email cgn@calvarychapel.com asking for it. We'll send it to you. And it's got more information than you probably want to see, but we wanted to be thorough because we're not hiding anything, you know?
So one thing I didn't mention is, you know, this is the fifth startup. I've had four startups in my life. Three failed, one was successful. So over 20 some odd years of being a business owner, I've learned what works and what doesn't work. And being a Christian business owner, I've learned what's important to the donors. And, you know, so we have set up boards that accountability boards for every dollar that comes in and every dollar that goes out. And the reason we do this is because that's the model that Paul left us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you know, and chapter 8 and chapter 9 is, you know, really looking at this and saying, okay, we want to be responsible. We want people to know that money's going there. And, you know, a lot of people love to give to church planning, and thank God they do. A lot of people might want to give to pastoral care. Very few people like to give towards administrative costs. But I have to say, and I'm going to say this because it was happening way before I was on staff, the staff at CGN is tiny, but it's the staff that puts on the international conferences, all the other little conferences. And I would name names, but they'd probably get mad at me, so I won't do that. But I will just say that it is a skeleton crew. We probably need double the people that we have. But right now as an org, we're trying to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. And they just work so, so hard. So there's so many things. You know, we do all the website design. We do all the content editing. I mean, there's just so many things that are happening that maybe people don't realize also. So
yeah, and just so now shifting gears slightly, but still kind of on the topic of money, Jeff, one of the things that's fascinated me in talking to you is that you have thought a lot theologically about the value of money. And when I say value, I mean the spiritual value of money. And so, you know, talk to us a little bit about some of these ideas around the theological, you know, concepts about money, and then how that relates to churches. How can we help churches become self-sustainable, perhaps even especially in places where that's a difficult thing to do?
Yeah. Okay, that's another topic I could go way off on because it is a passion. But I guess really to hone it in on, you know, I think about God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. On each day of creation, he looked at what he created and he says, oh, it's good. Then he created the animal life and he created mankind. And he said, oh, this is very good. And it's always been interesting to me that the very first place that God put mankind was in the garden to work. It says to work and tend. That word work in the Hebrew language, avad, is used 200 and some odd times in the Old Testament. Well, 156 of those times, or whatever it was, forgive me if I've got the wrong number, is the same word they use for worship. It's serving. So God his intention for work is a place that we would work and serve. And when you think about Adam and Eve, God gave them everything they needed in the garden to flourish. and to help mankind. And so this was God's intention from the beginning, but because of sin, you know, then we see the consequence of sin was men would begin to work by the sweat of their brow and toiling in the dirt and all of this. And that's where the tension is when it comes to money. But God's intention was that we would be flourishing financially and able to help others that aren't flourishing financially. That's always been his way. God created us that we would be a channel of his grace to the world around us. And a good way that we can do that is through earning and having a huge impact on the communities in which we live. We were just talking a few minutes ago about, you know, some countries that are not flourishing. We were talking about
Moldova.
I'm sorry. Whenever I hear that name, I think of like the princess and prince of Moldova. I watch way too many Hallmark movies, I guess. Just kidding. But, you know, and I've done a lot of work in India over the years. And one of the things that I've been thinking about and I'm so passionate about and I haven't figured it all out yet is that what a way for people that have the wealth and the wisdom of owning businesses to be used greatly by God is not, you know, it's so often people just want to give their money that are wealthy and say, that's all I need. But that's not a healthy perspective. A healthy perspective is I'm wealthy. I will want to use the money, but I want to use it in a way it's going to build the community in which it's going to. And so we were talking about in Moldova. God, I said it right. Thank you. You know, there's a pastor there that he just started a business cleaning carpets and that type of thing. And as I'm hearing the story, I'm thinking this is what needs to happen. People with the wealth and the wisdom that are retired or want to spend 3 weeks going into a foreign country and training up some young guy or a young gal to start a business, because this is what happens. Like in India, if you go into a Hindu community and you're a Christian, nobody's going to buy anything from you. But if you go into India and you're a Christian company that's employing Hindus, then you're benefiting the community, and then you're giving yourself an opportunity to share Christ. And of course, that's biblical too, right? With Aquila and Priscilla, Paul went in to, I don't remember the name of the city they went into.
Corinth,
thank you. And they started making tents, sitting around talking about Jesus. And then there was a church planted out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell there's even more there inside of you that would love to come out. And I think we'd all benefit from hearing more about that, but maybe another time. But thank you so much, Jeff, for your time today. Last question for you. What are you excited about for the future of CGN?
All right. Oh, boy. I am so excited about the potential of planting 1,000 churches in the next 10 years. Some people say that's a big ask. It's not. If all of the churches are working together, this could actually be very easily attained. But I'm also very excited that they aren't just churches, they're healthy churches. CGN, as we were talking about, it's so important that these are healthy communities of Christ. And we know that healthy leaders produce healthy sheep, and healthy sheep produce healthy communities of Christ. And I'm really excited about the possibility of that happening.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, Jeff. Thanks, Clay.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CGN Mission and Methods Podcast. In our next episode, Pastor Brian and I will be speaking with Rafael Manzanares. Rafael pastors Santa Ponza Community Church in Mallorca, Spain, and he has a unique global perspective, having served in the United States, England, and in Europe for many years. New episodes are released every 2 weeks, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast so those episodes will be delivered to your device as soon as they come out. We'd love to hear feedback from you on these episodes. You can email us at cgn@calvarychapel.com. And if you'd like to support this podcast, one of the best ways you can do that is by giving us a rating and review on your podcast app. Written reviews are particularly helpful in helping boost this content so other people can find it and benefit from it. Until next time, God bless you.